Tonight I want to talk about, you know, today, in our age, in our world today, we're so technologically advanced. The technology is so far advanced, and there's so many churches today that are trying to keep up. They're trying to keep up so we can get people in, so people will just come. But I don't think that we need to catch up today. I think we need to go back to the old-time Christian way, the old-time revivals that I've heard of. I've never seen one. And I would love to see one soon. But you know what? I don't think we're going to see one unless we try not to go forward and catch up to today's world, but go back. And we can only go back by starting with the little things. Starting with the little things in our Christian life. And there's little things in our daily life that I want to compare this to. Say, brushing your teeth in the morning. That's a little thing. It's not a big thing. Just brush your teeth. Lock the door on your way out. Put gas in your car. Feed the dog. Buy groceries. Little things. But if you didn't do those little things, it'd be a big problem. You'd have no food to eat. Your car would run out of gas. You'd have no food for your dog. Your dog would die. If you didn't lock it, it would get stolen. Your house would be robbed. You'd have big problems just from not doing those little things. And I think that's how we got to where we are today in our world. Because we stopped doing the little things in our Christian life. And there's seven things I want to talk about that are the little things in our Christian walk. And the first thing is giving. Giving. In Luke chapter 6, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Talks about giving. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Give. Give willingly of your time, of your effort, of your money to the cause of Christ. And maybe that's helping someone who's in need. Maybe that's doing a ministry that needs to be done. And when no one else will step up, you step up. Give. Because when you give, the Bible says clearly, it will be given unto you. Your reward will be in heaven. Even if you see nothing while you're on this earth back, your reward will be in heaven. So do things. Give to God. Give your life. That's the first little thing that we need to start doing to get back to that old-time Christian way. So the first thing was giving. The second little thing that I want to talk about is going to church. Going to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Here tonight, Christians gather to hear God's word, to worship together. When some places you can't even pray. Back in Daniel's day, he couldn't even pray, or he was cast into a lion's den for praying. And some of us may not to go to church some nights because it's not a big deal. Well, I heard a story once about a man who he had been witnessing and witnessing and witnessing to a man at his work, trying to get him to come to church. And trying and trying. And he was being a good testimony at work and a good witness. And it came to Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, man, his team was playing in the Super Bowl. And so he thought, oh, it's no big deal. I mean, it's just one Sunday night service. I've gone every single night. I'll just miss this one night. It's no big deal. So he didn't go to church. Guess who showed up for church? The man he had been witnessing to for those weeks and those weeks and those weeks. He missed one opportunity. And that man, he came to church. Where is this man, my coworker? Oh, he decided to stay home. Tonight was the Super Bowl. Oh, well, I guess since this man's faith isn't more important than the Super Bowl, it must not be so important that I need to do it. And he lost an opportunity just like that. Let that not be the case for you. Attend church regularly. If you're sick, I understand that. If you cannot even get out of bed, I understand. But do your best to serve God and come in your place and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So giving was the first little step. Going to church was the second. And the third thing is to pray. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Be in a constant state of prayer in every situation in your life. Maybe it's an opportunity at work. Lord, what should I do in this situation? Maybe it's a business meeting. You're in a meeting, and it's going to take forever and forever and forever. Well, what would God have you to say in that meeting? Maybe it's at home. You're at home, and your kid talks back to you. I know, I'm sure I have never thought to do that. No, but pray without ceasing. How do you live your life? Do you live it so that God is in control, or do you control it yourself? So first we saw giving. Second, going to church. Third was to pray. The fourth thing is getting into God's Word. That's the fourth little thing in our Christian life that keeps us from getting back to those old-time Christian faith, the old-time revivals. Getting in God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 105, says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Is God's Word a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Is it directing you in the way you should go? Is it going before you? Oh, no, I can't go there. I can go there. Is the Bible your authority? Is it directing your paths? Are you in God's Word? And the only way it's going to be able to direct your paths is if you're in it. Are you in it? Are you waking up, doing your devotions in the morning? Are you getting it in God's Word at all? Is Sunday the only time you have it in your hands? Do you throw it in the back of your car so it'll be there when you get in your car next Sunday? Get into God's Word. That's the fourth little thing. The fifth little thing is to witness. And I'm going to partner this with discipleship. The fifth thing is to witness. Turn in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and verse 19 through verse 20. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. The first part of that verse says, go. The first part is to witness, to go out and tell others about Christ. If you're saved, you have a job. Not if you want to. It's a job. As you meet people, to tell them about Christ. To give them the same glory, the same hope of eternity that you have. If you do not, their blood is on your hands. If you have the opportunity and you don't take it. But the second part of that Great Commission is to teach them. To teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What he has commanded us, we're supposed to disciple, bring them in and tell them, hey, you need to go to church. And I'm thankful for a preacher who gets up here and he tells what I need to do, what the Bible says, not being scared, well, what is this person going to think? What if someone has this sin? I better not talk about that. No, he gets up here and he says it. I'm thankful for that. Because there's people, there's churches in this country who they just say, you know, we don't want to offend anybody, so we're not going to preach everything in here. We'll just preach, you know, God is love. And you know what? God is love. But God also chastises those who are in sin. And you're out of fellowship if you're in sin. And if you're not getting that right, if we don't have a preacher up here preaching how to get right and what's wrong, then we can't have that true fellowship with God if we don't get that sin out of our lives. So witness and be a disciple. Disciple those who you get saved. And the sixth thing is your speech. How are you talking? Your speech. Is it edifying or is it tearing down? Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What are you talking about? What are you talking about at work when you're not at church? You're around your coworkers. Oh, that's no big deal. Are they saved? Are you being a good testimony in your workplace? That's another reason we're getting away from that old-time revival, the old-time Christian way. Because Christians aren't willing to say, hey, why are you using that language around me? Hey, around me. Because that'll give you the opportunity. Well, why is it that you don't say it? Why do you not talk like that? Everybody does. Well, you see, I'm a Christian. And I know I need to watch my language. And so I just appreciate it if you would do it around me. That's a good witness. That's a good opportunity to win them to the Lord. Because you're being a good testimony. So how is your speech? Are you giving to God? Are you going to church? Are you in prayer? Are you reading your Bible? Are you witnessing? And are you speaking right? And the seventh and final thing, that little thing we need to go back to, is to have our joy in the Lord. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Tonight, are you finding joy in basketball, in a football game, in the computer, in your job? Whatever, fill in the blank. Music, movies, is that your joy? Or is the joy of the Lord your strength? When someone says, I used this illustration this morning, the teens heard it. When you go and you watch a movie and maybe the preacher gets up here and says, you know, you're not to watch these movies. You're not to go and listen to this music. The Bible says, and he says what the Bible says, and you stand up and you're willing to fight for that right that you think you have. What happens when someone says, hey, no, you can't read the Bible anymore. You're going to stand up and fight for that? When someone says, hey, you can't witness anymore. You can't go out and tell others about Christ. Are you going to stand and fight for that just like you would if someone came and told you you weren't allowed to watch movies anymore? Or you weren't allowed to read these books anymore? You weren't allowed to go these places? Have these friends? Drink? Would you stand up and fight for the Bible, for God, more than you would fight for a movie? Something like that? Where do you find your joy? It should be in the Lord. So we saw seven things. Giving to the Lord, your all. Going to church. Praying. Doing your devotions. Witnessing. Watching your speech. And where you have your joy. You know, these are all the little things we need to have. D.L. Moody once said that the world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. The world is yet to see what God can do with. And there's four words I want to point out in this quote that D.L. Moody said. The first is with. And that's accompanied by, alongside of, God will do something with you. The second word is for. God's going to do things for you. In favor of you, because you're doing things for him. If you are wholly consecrated to God, God's going to do things in favor of you, bless you. The third word is through. What is he going to do through your work, through your ministry, as you give your life to God? As you get back to those little things. And then the fourth word is in. In. We are in a building. And if you're saved tonight, God is in you. And God will be working in your life as you let him take control. He didn't say, you know, he's yet to see, oh man, what we can do through and in and with and for a very wealthy man, or a very smart man, a man who can get up and he can speak for hours because he just has a natural ability to speak. No. He said, with a man, a simple man. That's each and every one of us in this room. What can God do for you if you wholly consecrate yourself to God tonight? You know, I haven't seen an old-fashioned revival. I haven't seen an old Big Tent Revival. I've heard about them. Dr. Barber used to always preach about them. And I hear about them at school. But I've yet to see one. But tonight, I pray that in my life, in your life, you would have one within yourself. You'd get back to that old-time Christian way, starting with yourself. Spread it through the church. Spread it through the country. And let's get back to that old-time Christian way. We don't need to keep up with the times. We need to go back, get the little things right, get back to that old-time Christian way.